Well, an uncommon astronomical event takes place on Monday. The transit of Mercury happens about 13 times a century. That's when the planet closest to the sun can be seen passing in front of it. And weather permitting, it'll be visible for about 6 hours through special telescopes here at Michigan State University in East Lansing. For more about the transit of Mercury, what a mysterious phrase, we welcome the director of MSU's Abrams Planetarium, Shannon Schmoll. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Also joining us, John French, the planetarium's production coordinator. Welcome back, John.
Hi, Mark.
John also doubles as the director of the planetarium's even more mysterious Moist Towelette Museum. Now, Shannon, what exactly is happening to Mercury on Monday?
Well, not much is happening to it necessarily. It's just going in its orbit around the sun. But we are going to be lining up right with Mercury in such a position that it will look like it's going directly in front of the sun. Mm-hmm. And so we'll actually be able to see it essentially as a small little speck in front of the sun as it moves across the sun on Monday. And it'll take about 7.5 hours total for it to complete that path.
And 13 times a century is not too often.
Not too often.
Why does it happen so infrequently?
It's a matter of lining up just right. So if you think about the solar system as a disk and all the orbits are sort of on that disk, mm-hmm. Mercury's orbit is tilted by about 7 degrees off of that. And so we have to line up with Mercury, which happens about a few times a year, just right. But we have to line up with Mercury, but we have to line up with it in just the right spot that it's crossing into that plane of that disk.
Okay.
And so that's why it doesn't happen all the time.
Now, John French, I know it's not safe to look at the sun, of course. We've all heard that 100 times. But if you had sun safety glasses or took other measures, would you be able to see the transit?
Well, of course, you know, we're going to have telescopes set up so that people can see it.
You're making it very easy for
people to see this. Right, it'll be easy. But without a telescope, even if you just had like the eclipse glasses or even a Weldon glass, they say a number 14 Weldon glass allows you to look at the sun. But Mercury's, it's so small, it'll be pretty tough to see. I think it was about 150 times smaller than the sun. And so it's going to be just a teeny little speck. So really magnification with a telescope is going to be required to be able to see it.
And Shannon, you have a way to help us understand how tiny Mercury is going to look. You said if you hold out your arm, tell us how this works.
Yeah, so the sun is about 0.5 degrees in our sky. It's actually a lot smaller than we tend to think of it as. So if you stick your hand out with your thumb up, you can cover the sun with your thumb. And that's about the width of your thumb.
Okay.
So if you just do that, close one eye and look at your thumb, that's how big the sun is. So it's going to be 1/158 of that. So imagine 1/158 of your thumb in the sky. It's going to be a little hard to see that.
John, tell us a little bit more about what the planetarium has set up, the scopes that you'll have set up that people can view this through.
Right. We'll have several telescopes set up, and I think some of the volunteers from the Capillary Astronomy Association will be out there as well with their telescopes. And so we'll have probably 3 or 4 telescopes set up. We have one telescope that is a special scope called a hydrogen alpha telescope that allows you to see some of the prominences and flares that happen on the sun. So that'll be an interesting view. And then we'll have some other telescopes that will project the image of the sun onto a large piece of paper so that it's kind of easy just to kind of look at it.
But you have what's called a Coronado Sun Telescope?
Yeah, that's the hydrogen alpha telescope.
Oh, okay.
So that's the one that it really gives a really unique view. You can see a lot of filaments and flares and other things on the surface of the sun that you wouldn't be able to see under normal white light conditions.
I encourage anybody who has even a passing interest in this to check it out, because on more than one occasion I've gone to the planetarium, looked through the telescopes, looked at the moon. What was it I did about 5 years ago? I looked at the moons of Saturn. And so not only was Saturn dramatic with the rings around it, but you were seeing Saturn and you were seeing the moons. I think there are 9 moons around Saturn, and you couldn't pick out all 9, as I recall, but you could pick out four, I would say, at least. It's really, really impressive stuff.
You know, the MSU Observatory is open one weekend a month, and next weekend, the 13th and 14th of May, is the next open house down there. So that'll be a great opportunity as well to take a look through the telescopes and see Saturn and Jupiter and Mars and some other stuff.
How much time do people have to actually see Mercury in front of the disk of the sun?
The transit starts at 7:13 a.m. and ends at 2:42 p.m., so it's about a 7.5-hour window. We will be setting up telescopes starting about 8:30 in the morning because we'll be in front of the planetarium. We have to wait for it to get a little bit higher before we can see it above the MSU buildings. So we'll be there from about 2:30 until it ends about 2:45 in the afternoon.
There's also a transit of Venus that is even less common than the transit of Mercury. Can you tell us about that, John?
Yeah, the transits of Venus are even rarer than Mercury. They happen, usually you'll have a pair of transits separated by 8 years, and then you go over 100 years until you have another pair of transits. So some of the listeners might remember the transit that we had in 2012,
yeah.
and 8 years before that. Well, the next one is 101 years from now in 2117.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's on YouTube somewhere, right?
Right.
So the transit of Venus, the transit of Mercury, and these occur, do these occur because these are the two planets that are between the Earth and the Sun? Is that at the heart of this, Shannon?
Yeah, so this only happens with the planets that are closer to the sun than us because that means they can actually go in between the Earth and the sun. All the other planets, since they're farther, we have to look away from the sun in order to see them. So
also this month, May 22nd, what's called, there's some interesting things with Mars going on. We'll touch on these briefly. Mars opposition occurs. What is that?
An opposition is kind of like the opposite of the transit, where on May 22nd, Mars is going to be on the opposite side of the sky from the sun. So I don't think it would really line up exactly, but if you were on Mars, you might be able to see Earth transiting the sun.
Oh, I see.
Okay,
so they're as close to a straight line as they get.
Right, right. Although I think that the orbits are also tilted, so that probably is not going to happen from Mars. But an opposition of Mars is a great time to observe Mars through a telescope because you can kind of imagine we're a lot closer to Mars when we're on the same side of the solar system. And so this is a great time to observe Mars through the telescope. You can see some details on Mars that you wouldn't normally see other times of the year.
Yeah, the closest approach, I also learned that takes place. This is May 30th. May 30th, Mars' closest approach occurs. Is viewing of Mars significantly enhanced when it's that much closer to the Earth or not?
It'll be brighter and look a little bit bigger than usual. And so it'll be a nice view and a good chance to see Mars. And if you come out and look at it through a telescope, you can start seeing some things like ice caps, depending on the telescope that you have.
Do you have the scope set up for Mars later this month or not?
Yeah, well, those will be set up at the MSU Observatory on the open house.
Okay, very good. I've been speaking with John French, production coordinator for MSU's Abrams Planetarium. Shannon Schmoll is the director of Abrams Planetarium. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Okay,
this was a
fun
segment.